What a blessing. Amen. I could listen to that again. It was good. So thankful for the music and thankful for your faithfulness. Thankful I didn't run off all the ladies this morning. That was a blessing. So appreciate you being here. I get to keep my job for another week, so that's a blessing too. Well, we'll see. After tonight's message, we'll see how things go. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. Just remember to be in prayer for Pastor as he's away. Colossians chapter number 3, if you find your spot, you can stand in honor of reading God's word, but do be in prayer for him. They'll be starting the Spiritual Leadership Conference Asia tomorrow, and I don't know if you've seen things. They do post some things online from time to time about that conference, but it is an enormous conference where Independent Baptist preachers, missionaries from all over that Asia region meet together. They're encouraged, they're equipped, and man, it's just an incredible blessing, and I know God's going to use it, and our pastor is actually going to be speaking at one of the sessions in that conference, and so pray for him if you would. Pray for the Wilhites. Brother Dwayne and Brother and Joel are there with them, and then Brother Mike Gilbert's also making his way there. And so it's just a blessing that we get to just be a part of that, and looking forward to a report when he comes back. He said he's getting pictures, and he's wanting to make a presentation of all that God is doing over there, so looking forward to that. Colossians chapter number 3, this is part 2, so if you weren't in here this morning, you have to go back and watch part 1, but don't do it right now while I'm preaching, okay? Colossians chapter number 3, starting in verse number 22. The Bible says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Chapter number 4, continuing on. "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." This morning we kind of focused on the family relationships, those relationships in the home. And tonight we're going to take those outside of the home. And we're going to talk about those relationships that we have, those earthly relationships, those community relationships, those work relationships, and I believe God's going to teach us tonight. So let's pray, and we'll get into the message. Father, I'm so thankful for your goodness. I'm thankful for your word, how it teaches us. And God, I know that this is more than just an intellectual exercise tonight. There is a spiritual battle that's happening. And God, I pray that you would remove Satan, that you'd remove the influence of this world from our minds, and that your spirit would have free reign here tonight to speak to our hearts. God, we're grateful we get to be a part of your family, and we're grateful we get to serve you. I pray that you'd teach us tonight, help us to be better servants for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. As I said this morning, we talked about the family relationships. This evening, we're going to focus on having these complete relationships, because all through the book of Colossians, the idea is being complete in Christ, that he is all we need, that he is the answer to the questions that we have. And so complete relationships that are built on the foundation of Christ. We're going to see that what God has to say about those relationships that are outside of our family. And this really has to do with our character and our reputation in business. Maybe you're in school. maybe to the lost world. That's really where we're going tonight, and that's what our passage is speaking about. But first, I'd like to give you a history lesson. Is anybody like history in here? How many of you hate history? Raise your hand. All the teenagers. I knew it. Put your hands down. Okay. Rewind 100 years ago in the 1920s. There was an Italian businessman that came to America. He operated an investment firm. And this is what he promised to his investors. He promised that in 45 days, he would turn their money into an extra 50% profit. I'll take him up on that right there. That's a good investment. Then he promised this: if you allow me to hold your money for 90 days, I will double your money, 100% profit in 90 days. Well, you can imagine that people began to jump at the idea of that kind of return in that short amount of time. This man was so compelling in the business ventures that he presented and was constantly bringing in new investors. He hired agents, he opened multiple offices, and the business was growing by leaps and bounds. In a year's time, this man was featured in the news articles all over that area, because it seemed that the claims he made were actually coming true and investors were actually getting paid. However, this man wasn't investing any of the money into any of the business ventures. Instead, what he was doing was he was using the publicity that he received and the greed of people to constantly lure in new investors. And when the time came, he would take the money that he gained from the new investors and he would pay the older investors. This man had built a house of cards, and eventually it came crashing down. And at that time, it had grown into the largest fraud in American history. He defrauded over 40,000 people, and it cost them the equivalent in our day and time of $300 million. Maybe part of his name will sound familiar. This man's name was Charles Ponzi. This type of fraud, from that moment, would be called a Ponzi scheme. Maybe you've heard of it. Can you imagine your name being forever linked to that moment in time in history and your last name being Ponzi? We don't have anybody here named Ponzi, do we? Okay. Any Fonzie? No, I'm just kidding. You would think that Americans had learned their lesson. But in 2008, after running a Ponzi scheme for decades, maybe you know the name Bernie Madoff, was arrested and sentenced to 150 years in prison after defrauding investors for $65 billion. These men fearlessly took advantage of people because they thought that nobody would find out, thought they could get away with it. I remember one time hearing this phrase: character is who you are when no one is watching. We are not a cult, and we would never do anything like this, but imagine with me for a moment that I asked Brother Trevor, and he went, and he hired a private investigator, because that sounds like something Brother Trevor would do. Hired a private investigator to follow you this past week, to your job, to your business, to your school. Wherever you occupy your time, this private investigator followed you. And tonight, this investigator was going to show a video presentation proving that you are a Christian. What would we see from this past week? What kind of temper would we see from this past week? What kind of words would we hear from this week? What kind of ethics would we observe from this week? Would the person that we see at church be really different from the person that we see at work or at school? As the investigator interviewed people that you're around every day, what would they say about you? There's a principle in our passage this evening that's crucial for us to understand as we endeavor to have Christ-honoring relationships in this world, and it's this: godly character leads to godly relationships. Godly character leads to godly relationships. Look on the screen. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says this: "For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." You can fool just about anybody if you want. We can look at these men, Mr. Ponzi, Mr. Madoff, and we can see how they just pulled the wool over so many people's eyes. Christians can be the same way. God doesn't want us to be that way, though. He doesn't want us to be different here than we are out there. We as Christians can't go to work on Monday and leave our Christianity in the pew. It matters how we serve, and it matters how we lead. So let's get into the passage and see how we can turn these godly characteristics, this godly character, into godly relationships. Our passage starts by talking about the relationship between a servant and a master. All over the Roman Empire, slavery was a reality. Some were lifetime slaves. Some were temporary bond servants. They were paying off a debt that they owed. Others were conquered people, and they were forced into servitude by the Roman Empire. Paul isn't condoning slavery, but simply addressing the present situation that many Christians found themselves in. As more and more people got saved, there were slaves that were getting saved. There were masters that were getting saved. And they all had questions about how they should act and how they should live. Now Paul's trying to teach them how to conduct themselves in a way that would honor the Lord. I think it's admirable of Paul to make these people realize that Christ didn't come, he didn't come to change their situation. His primary goal, you remember so many were waiting for him to be that conquering king when he came. But instead, he was the lamb that was led to the slaughter. They so wanted him to be different. They so wanted him to be the king and to kick out Rome. But that's not why he came. He didn't come to change their situation and all the circumstances around. He came to change them. Amen. The same is true of us. God doesn't primarily come to change all of your circumstances and make your life more palatable. He came to change you. He's given you a home in heaven. We have a lot to look forward to. But so many times we get bogged down looking at the situation and everything that's going on and woe is me attitude as a Christian. Maybe you're an employee, a student in the military, or find yourself in a situation where you are under someone else's authority. Paul is going to show us how to conduct ourselves. But maybe you find yourself leading employees, teaching, or in some other position of authority. Paul is going to address how you are to conduct yourself in a way that honors the Lord. So, Roman numeral number one, the servant's directive. The servant's directive. We see this in chapter number 3, looking at verse number 22 through verse number 25. We're going to see that he deals with servants. He moves from the family, he moves to the servants. I've had a lot of bosses over the years, and I started out as a teenager on a ranch. And I was hauling hay, and I was shoveling manure out of the horse stalls. And that is a hot, stinky job. I remember the heat. I remember the smells. I remember the exhaustion. I remember the pain. And for some reason, the ranch owner did not offer me 401k. He did not offer me paid vacation. He did not give me a company vehicle. I mean, I had it tough back then. I've had bosses that were extremely gracious. They went over and above to take care of me. And I've had bosses that didn't even realize that I was there most of the time. I've had bosses that were very involved in my life. And I've had bosses that were very hands-off. However, from the very beginning, I wanted to take the principles of the Word of God and apply them to my work, wherever God had me placed. I believe it's a biblical principle that we take those biblical principles, that we would work with all of our might and pour that into the things and the tasks that God's given us to do. You can't control your boss. You can't control your teacher or your authority, but you can control your response to it. So let's look at a couple things here. Letter A, he teaches to serve with humility. Serve with humility. Verse 22, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." Sometimes this is difficult to do. We get prideful. We begin to think that we know better or we could do a better job. And we begin to resent the position. Instead of embracing the position, it becomes this downward spiral that we're just not happy and nothing about my job and nothing about my boss and nothing about everything in this whole situation is good. And we begin to get that attitude and that mindset. And every day when we go to work, it's a challenge to be a Christian. We need to remember that wherever God has placed you is not an accident. You're not in that place that you serve, that you work, that you study. You're not there by accident. It's a privilege to serve. And God doesn't view those who humbly serve as less important, that this job that you have is less important. Mark chapter 10, verse 44 and 45 says, "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." So the next time you step into that line of work, that job, tomorrow when you go to your school, wherever you're at, and you feel like you just don't matter, just remember this verse where it says, if you want to be the chiefest, that person will be servant of all. That you'll take on the responsibility, that no matter what the task is, that you will do it and do it gladly for the Lord. Are you at odds with your authority? It's not biblical. It's not biblical to go against authority, to always be challenging their authority. It's time to get the mind of Christ and humble ourselves. Let's be humble servants. We have an example in Jesus Christ who came and humbly served. So he says that we are to obey. Letter B, serve with integrity. Serve with integrity. The end of verse number 22 says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." You ever worked with someone or went to school with someone, and when the boss or teacher were around, they were a completely different person? Ever been there? That ought not to be the case with Christians. You ought to work just as hard when they're around as when they're gone. All right, time out. Pastor is halfway around the world. You have a staff here that's taking care of things and making sure things are done. And it would be easy for the staff while pastor's away just to kind of step back and take it easy, maybe show up late, just not to do things full force. But I'm thankful that This past week, when Pastor left, our guys began to take on several extra projects that they wanted to do. They've been working hard. They've been doing extra. They've been adding more to their plate. They want Pastor to get back, and they want to see, hey, we actually got some things accomplished, and that mentality and that work ethic is going to be blessed of the Lord. That not while just an eye is watching you, you're doing a good job and you're working hard and you're trying and you're doing what you ought to do, but when that eye is gone, that you realize that there's another eye that's watching, and that's God Almighty who is watching your work, and He's seeing how you're acting. It says, not with eye service or as men pleasers, that my job as a servant isn't just to please my boss and to make sure that he is happy with what I'm doing, but that God is happy with what I'm doing. You can tell a lot about a person by how they act when no one is there watching over their shoulder. And you can tell if they are working to please the Lord or just to please men. And usually when we're trying to please men, we're just trying to gain advantage for ourselves. So actually, in turn, we're just serving ourselves. We need to make sure that we're doing things with all our might unto the Lord. Let's be servants with some integrity. C, serve with joy. Serve with joy. Verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Payday is coming, you know? How many of you like payday? Raise your hand. You like getting paid? It's a good day. Payday is coming. I remember so many times working hard, day after day, week after week. I mean, it was just constant. And wondering if anybody knew, if anybody cared. And then God would bless in ways that I was not expecting. I learned over the years that God always sees. God always sees. His records are perfect, and He will not be indebted to any man. You can work and you can labor and you can think that nobody sees what you're doing. Nobody sees the labor. But if nobody else on earth does, God does. And His blessings aren't limited by someone that's in authority over you that doesn't see what's going on. God will bless. You can count on His blessings exceeding your effort as well. The joyful fact that you are serving God by serving others can overcome any circumstance. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I'm not saying that you have to go to work singing tomorrow. Richie, don't do that, please. Just don't do that. Go to work singing. I'm not saying that you got to get out of the car, you know, whistling and just jumping around and excited and happy, all those things. But there ought to be a song in your heart. Amen? People should be able to see that there's something different in your life. So when you go to work, yeah, it's Monday, standing around the cooler, standing at the coffee machine. And you know what? Sometimes we should probably take a picture or have somebody, like pay somebody to take pictures of us when we're not paying attention to how we look. And maybe that Monday morning, just somehow getting a clue of how we look, how we present ourselves, how we come into our job with all of these lost people around us, and how we act and how we portray Christianity to be. Sometimes we just stand around. Well, another day. Instead of saying, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will be glad and rejoice in it. We should be different. We should have a joyfulness about us. And we should be desiring to serve the Lord, not just because we're just happy people, but we're looking forward to, do you realize that He's talking about the rewards that we have, the home that we have in heaven, the joy that we should have, and that we are part of the family of God and we get to serve every single day? I know days are tough. I know situations are tough. You're not always going to have a smile on your face, but you can have a joy in your heart. And when everybody knows, hey, man, this is tough. This is a tough situation. This is a lot of pressure at work. This is a lot of pressure at school. They can look at you and know, hey, there's just something different there. There's a steadiness there. They have something that I don't have. Do they see that in you? Let's be joyful servants. All right, number two, the master's discretion. The master's discretion. If God has entrusted you with authority in some form or fashion, you must steward it according to his principles. Too often we say words like, we say terms like this, my business, or my company, or my class, my employees. And I understand a lot of times we're associating those with being part of a team or part of something. In reality, though, none of it really belongs to us. It belongs to the Lord. It's his. That means that we must lead according to his ways and not our own. Letter A, lead with care. Start out by leading with care. Look at verse number 1 of chapter number 4. And I don't mean to skip over verse number 25. Verse number 25 actually is talking about the servant. He's talking about the servant that serves. In verse number 24, it gives the rewards, but in verse number 25, it gives the antithesis. If we're not going to serve the Lord like we should, it's not all about blessings and everything, but I don't want the chastening coming down on me. And we ought to have that desire to serve the Lord. Verse number 1, chapter number 4, as we begin to talk about leading with care, masters, and that first word there is give. Masters, give. People are not put under your authority for your own benefit. You realize that? If God's given you some authority somewhere. He's given you a place to lead, maybe a business that you own. He does not put people under your authority for your own benefit. In fact, it is just the opposite. You have been given oversight to ensure that they are cared for properly, that you steward the people and the resources and everything that God gives you, that you steward them according to his will. You can usually tell companies and organizations that are built on biblical principles based on how they treat their employees. I worked for a manufacturing company in Oklahoma City while I was in college, and they had Christian owners. Now, it was a big company, so a lot of times you have layers of bosses in companies like that, and it was the same way. It's, you know, we would not see the owners that often. We would see all of the managers and supervisors and group lead, you know, all of those things. We would see all of those people, but we very rarely would see the owners of the company. I had just started out in the company, and I heard that they did profit sharing at the end of each year, meaning that however much they made that year, they were going to give a percentage of that back to their employees. And so that year was very profitable. Evidently, I'd heard, and we had talked about it in meetings and things, that it was a very profitable year, and they really pushed the production and sales and all the different things that were going on to make this year really productive and really profitable, and it was. But I was a newer employee. In fact, I was working through a temporary agency in order to get this job, so I didn't think a whole lot about it. I wasn't expecting anything. I wasn't technically their employee. I was an employee for someone else that was hiring me, so I didn't expect anything. You know, there's always fine print when there comes things like that, so that's just what I was expecting. But that year, I was very surprised as a college student when they handed me a check for several thousand dollars on top of my normal pay. It would have been very easy for them to find a way to keep that money for themselves. But the entire time I worked for them, they showed care and concern for us in the wages that we earned, the equipment that we used, making sure that we had the right stuff to use, making sure that our safety protocols were in place, and even the environment that we worked in. They would have meetings about how we were to conduct ourselves and what they expected and how we dressed and the things that we did, how we carried ourselves. And we're in this factory. We're, you know, it's easy for people to just kind of act however they want to, and But they really showed an effort in that. In fact, they paid us to actually go to a Bible study once a week. And I thought that was really interesting. God continued to bless that company. And while I was there, and I'm grateful that the leadership honored the Lord and they cared for us the way that they did, it was a blessing. So you can kind of see, you know, that God truly does bless these places, these leaders that take it upon themselves to not just benefit themselves, that these people that are placed under our authority are not ours to just use, but we've been given this authority to steward for the Lord. And you could see how they manage that way. So number one, lead with care. Number two, lead with honor. Lead with honor. It says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal." Just and equal. An honorable leader stays aware and alert of the things that are going on. That not just sitting in an office completely disconnected from everything that's going on and has a little bell to ring whenever they need something or anything like that. It has all these different things going on so that they're insulated from everything that's going on in the company. Proverbs 27:23 says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." If God's given you a responsibility in leadership, in management, where you have authority over people, then you can't insulate yourself. You can't blind your eyes to what's going on around you and the care that you ought to have for those people. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. It's a biblical principle. Be aware, be alert of the things that are going on. Number two, an honorable leader will do what's right even when it costs them. Honorable leaders will do what's right even when it costs them. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Even when it costs you. You're not going to be weary in well-doing. You're not going to let all the pressure and all of the things that are going on stop you from doing what you know is right and following biblical principle. "Well, I just keep doing this, and it seems like I just keep going backwards." But you're going to trust the Lord, and you're going to make sure that God knows that you're stewarding the way that you ought to. And even when it costs you something, you're going to follow what God says, knowing that in the end, you will reap the benefit of pleasing the Lord. Number three, an honorable leader will not play favorites. Honorable leader will not play favorites. James 2:9 says, "But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors." James says, if you play favorites, then you're acting just like the lost world is acting. And how do you expect those that have been placed under your authority as a Christian, those that God's given you to steward, when we play favorites, how do we expect this lost world to see that there's a difference? In some form or fashion, this matter of being a respecter of persons is not something that's an isolated topic in the Bible. In fact, I looked it up, and just about 24 times in the Scriptures, it's going to allude to this principle of not being a respecter of persons. And oftentimes it's talking about God. God's not a respecter of persons. That we should not be ones that play favorites and play games in business, but we should be fair and we should be just and we should treat people right. So, an honorable leader will not play favorites. And then let her see there, lead with reverence. Lead with reverence, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. We have to remember above all things, and no matter how big things get or how high up we rise in a company or in the things that we own or the responsibilities that we have or the authority that we're given, that we come to the place where we understand that no matter where we go, and how far up the ladder we go, that we are still under God's authority. And he is still watching what we do. Remember that you are accountable to God. Humble yourself before him and lead in a way that's pleasing to him. If there's something that's not right, it just isn't right in how you're conducting business and it doesn't line up with Scripture, then let's get it right. Because God sees these things. God is not oblivious. He knows what's going on in your life. He has perfect records. And he wants to make sure that we as Christian leaders are following biblical principles. All right, Roman numeral number 3 here. Comes down to this, the world's decision. The world's decision. So what is all this about? I know we should be good servants and we should be good masters or leaders. But what is all this, what is the difference? What difference does it make? Well, it comes down to, it's the world's decision. They're watching. They need a witness. They need a testimony. They need a gospel presentation. This lost world needs us, letter A there, to invest in them. Invest in the lost. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Spend time in prayer. We need to invest in the lost, and we need to invest in having a prayer list of those that we've come into contact with that are lost and that need the salvation message, and we should spend that time in prayer. If you keep walking by your prayer closet, if you keep walking by your Bible, it's time tomorrow, it's time tonight to take a moment and to get in the prayer closet, to take that list or to begin a new one and start writing down some names and investing in the lost. How are we ever going to reach this lost world if we never spend time in prayer for them? Paul, so often through these epistles, and I believe God put him in prison for a purpose, and God knew exactly what he needed, but there were times in Paul's life where he couldn't just leave and go preach. He couldn't just amass a crowd and preach. He was either shipwrecked or he was placed in prison, and all he could do was pray. God, save souls. I don't want God to have to put me in a place where all I can do is pray. I keep walking by it, and I keep walking by it. We need to spend time in prayer for the lost. Number 2, not just pray. Pray with expectation. Watch for God to work. Don't just say words. Pray with an earnest expectation that God is going to work. And when you go through your day, we just had prayer meetings, several prayer meetings this morning, but we just had a prayer meeting with our connection group leaders this morning, 9:30 over here, and we wrote down some things to pray for. And 2 of those specific requests this morning were answered in church. It was amazing. You know, we could have just chalked it up to coincidence. But I believe God answered prayers. A young man walked forward this morning, a college student, and accepted God as his Savior. Prayers are being answered. Did you pray this week for a lost soul? If you prayed this week for a lost soul, then you had an investment in what happened this morning. There's fruit that's abounding to your account in heaven. But if you just walked by all week long, didn't stop to pray for the lost, let's change that this week. Invest in the lost. Watch for God to work. And then when he does work, when something happens like what happened this morning, let's not forget to thank the Lord. Give thanksgiving to him. Just thanking him for how he works and what he does. Number B, or letter B here, witness to the lost. Invest in the lost. Spend that time in prayer. Watch for God to do a work. Give thanks unto the Lord. But we've got to step outside of our comfort zone. And we have to, number one there, take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. God's going to give you some opportunities this week. Are you going to take advantage of them or not? Are you going to look for those opportunities as God brings them up when you walk out of here? Are you going to make sure that you have a track, an invitation, something to give to somebody? Are you going to make sure that you understand, hey, how do I lead somebody to the Lord? If they have questions at work tomorrow, what passages do I take them to? What do I do? Or do we just go to work not really expecting God to do a whole lot? Even worse, do we go to work avoiding people, hoping that they don't ask us questions because we're just unsure? I've been there. Christians shouldn't be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Let's be Christians that are taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. Let's be a witness for Him. Second thing here, got to take advantage of the opportunities, but we also have to have a good reputation. That's where this character comes into play. Whether you're a servant, whether you're a master, whatever side of the coin that you find yourself on, we have to make sure that we have good character, because good character leads to good relationships and those godly relationships. We can't conduct ourselves just like the world conducts themselves in business, in our care for people, and how we act and our ethics in business. We can't act just like the world and then expect somebody, when we tell them about Christ, to listen. We have to make sure that we have that character that connects the gospel witness to a true reality in our lives, so that when we tell somebody about the gospel, it's truly making an impact in their lives. Look at verse number 6 in chapter number 4. He says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." It's important. It's important that we speak kindly. There were so many times where Christ Himself was a witness, and he was giving the gospel to somebody. And they were often people that were really rough. I think about the woman at the well. Man, she had a rough life. She was trying to avoid everybody. But Christ went to her and He spoke to her firmly but with kindness, in a way that she felt like, no, I had never heard anything like this. How are you speaking to people? Is it rough and gruff and sharp, and you think that your attitude is okay? But God's not happy with your attitude, because you're just separating people from the gospel message, from the gospel witness. Well, that's just the way I am. That's just my character. That's just who I am. And we keep excusing and excusing and excusing the behaviors that we have, when His command to us is that, verse number 6, His command is, let your speech be how often?
Always.
Always with grace? Does that mean always, God? It does. That we're not given an excuse to lose our temper and to lose our cool and to act like this world. Because every time that we do that, every single time that we do that, and this world is looking, they're going to say, yep, told you it wasn't real. They're acting just like everybody else. Now, I'm thankful that God's grace can cover a multitude of sins, and we're not perfect. But I don't want me pushing aside and just thinking it's not a big deal, my attitude and the way that I talk, stop somebody from accepting Christ as their Savior. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about heaven or hell. And if that means that we have to change the way that we speak and change the way that we talk and change the way that we act around the people that God's put in our lives, then so be it. Let's be people that are willing to change. So, what do people think when they hear your name? Is it like the name Ponzi? Is that what they think? Are there negative notions attached because of your character in service or your ethics in leadership? Let's remember who we are serving and who we are accountable to. Notice the order of this. Family relations is where we started this morning. Business relationships. And then the focus goes to the lost. And if you want people to listen to what you have to say about the gospel, but they know that no one in your house gets along, and the work at work, you're not very dependable, then why would they ever want to listen to what you have to say about the gospel? Start at home. Have a good reputation in whatever labor God has given you, and your witness will not be hindered by those things. God, help us to be clean vessels. Help our homes to be right, our labor to be just, and our witness to be effective for Him. Paul finishes Colossians with a greeting that is full of praise for those that are laboring in the work while he is in prison, and a heartfelt desire to see these churches and these leaders to keep pressing on. So it's almost like Paul is zoomed out and he's looking at everything that's going on. And if Paul were here with us today, he'd be able to say the same things and say, church, my biggest desire is that you would go forth and you would do what God asked you to do. And if there's hindrances, listen, if you didn't get the message this morning, if there's hindrances to the gospel message in your home, then let's do some examination, let's do some evaluation in our homes, and let's correct those things. Life is too short. Life is too short to keep dealing with the same sins over and over and over and over again. If there's things in your job, in your work, if there's things in your school that you've just not been willing to fix, let's do it. Life is too short, and we have a message to get across to this lost world. They need the gospel message. So Paul finishes Colossians with this greeting, and he's praising those for laboring in the work while he is in prison, that heartfelt desire to see their churches and their leaders to keep pressing on. And I would like to say the same to you this week. Let's get real about serving the Lord this week. Let's tear down the walls and the facade, and let's get serious about being a witness for the Lord. Why don't you say tonight, God, whatever it is, make me a clean vessel that is able to be a witness for you this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for